Welcome back to This Green Earth, a weekly talk show on environmental issues and concepts of sustainability. I'm Chris Cherniak. Nell Larson is away. So my co-host this week is Melissa Marsted. And on the phone with us for the second part of the show is Paige Singer. She's a conservation biologist and GIS specialist at Rocky Mountain Wild. They are a nonprofit out of Colorado, which focuses on wildlife preservation, biodiversity studies in the southern Rocky Mountain region of Colorado. So, Paige, thanks so much for joining us this morning on This Green Earth.
Thank you so much for having me today.
So, Paige, let's start here. Just give us a little background about Rocky Mountain Wild and who they are and what your mission is.
Sure. So as you mentioned, Rocky Mountain Wild is a science-based conservation organization. Our mission is to protect, connect, and restore wildlife and wild lands in the southern Rocky Mountain region. So we work in Colorado, eastern Utah, northern New Mexico, southern Wyoming. Wow. And we envision a biologically healthy future for our region, one that includes a diversity of species and ecosystems, thriving populations of wildlife, and a sustainable coexistence between people and nature. And we are celebrating our 20th anniversary this year.
Wow. 20 years. Congratulations.
So thank you.
So give us a little sense of some of the projects then you're working on right now.
Sure. So Rocky Mountain Wild works on a whole slew of different projects. We work on public land issues, such as participating in federal land use planning efforts. We screen oil and gas lease sales on federal lands to make sure they aren't in sensitive areas such as critical habitat for plants and wildlife.
Mm-hmm.
And we also focus on citizen science as a way to engage the public and forward our mission. So currently we have a couple of different citizen science projects going. We've got one called the Front Range PICA Project that looks at, it's a collaboration with Denver Zoo and other partners, and it's looking at how climate change may be affecting the American pika in our higher elevation ecosystem. And then one that I work on is called the Colorado Corridors Project, and we use that to engage the public in field research and wildlife identification and help spread the word about the importance of connectivity for wildlife on the move across our landscape.
And does your work bring you to Utah?
The corridor work does not currently bring me into Utah. We have focused, for a long time, we've been looking at Interstate 70, but only as it travels through Colorado. And most recently, we've been focused on, we were involved in a couple of assessments looking at connectivity in a couple of counties.
And another
here in Colorado.
And you also work on the animal crossings.
Correct, yeah. So when I talk about connectivity for wildlife, animal crossings across highways is a very big part of that, as highways and other roads fragment where wildlife can move as they're trying to move across the landscape and access the resources that they need to survive.
Right, we have two crossings here in the Summit County area. One that goes over Interstate 80, and it's one of the largest ones in the state.
In the state, for sure.
It is literally like a formal overpass for these animals, and then one that goes under State Highway 40, that is a combined kind of human / animal tunnel type of crossing, and they have cameras and things set up, and you can actually go online and see, you know, and see what's going on with what's crossing. So this is the work that you're trying to do. Are there many animal crossings, let's say, in southern Colorado or the southern Rocky Mountain area?
In Colorado, there are several crossings where wildlife can go under the highway.
Yeah.
But there are only two crossings. There are only two places where they can go over the highway currently. And that was here on State Highway 9 in Grand County, Colorado. And they have been shown to be hugely successful. I think they were finished in 2017, and They've reduced wildlife vehicle collisions on that stretch of highway by nearly 90%.
Wow.
And within the, since they have been completed, I believe the numbers are like 40,000 crossings. We have monitored the structures and have seen 40,000 crossings of animals. So not individual animals,
sure,
but individual crossings that those animals are not at risk of coming in contact with cars. So very, very successful and very exciting.
Wow. Is there any difference between, let's say, you know, you have an overhead crossing or a tunnel type of crossing? Do animals have one preference to another?
Sure. Certain different species have different preferences. Some animals like to have a nice, they need to be able to see where they're going and have a straight shot across. So they want kind of an open crossing, whereas some animals like to, they need cover, and they want to have, they need to have shrubs and other cover to get them through a crossing. So it really depends on the species that you're looking at. So each crossing is going to be, it needs to be individualized for the area that you're in, the animals that are there, and then even looking at the type of habitat that you're in. So State Highway 9 is in winter habitat for mule deer. So we're seeing multiple crossings by animals each day. Whereas if it's more in a migratory area, then you're going to be seeing seasonal crossings. So you're just going to have kind of hot spots of, or time periods that there's going to be more crossings than others.
If you just joined us, we're speaking with Paige Singer. She's a conservation biologist and GIS specialist with the nonprofit Rocky Mountain Wild. Paige, I wanted to circle back to the another project you were working on, the Front Range Pika. Now, the pika, give me a quick thumbnail sketch of what a pika is and what their habitat is like.
Okay, so pikas live in the high elevations, kind of in the rocky mountaintops. And I do have to put a disclaimer. I am not the one at our organization that works mostly on pika, so
right.
I will speak to what I can. But we definitely have folks at our organization that are more knowledgeable. But pikas are related to rabbits, and they look like potatoes with Mickey Mouse ears is a good way to describe them. But they are very, very, the reason that we're studying them is that they're very sensitive to temperature, and they don't hibernate. So all summer long, they have to move around and collect hay for them to have food through the winter time.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the winter time, they need to have a nice layer of snow to insulate them from the cold temperatures outside. So in the summertime, they need to have cool temperatures in the rocky palace that they live in to keep them cool.
Right.
And then in the wintertime, they need insulation to keep them warm.
Coincidentally,
so they're very. Go ahead.
It's okay. Coincidentally, Paige, I went to college with your coworker, Paul, and so I've actually been working on a children's book about the pikas.
Oh, right. Great! Yeah.
Right, and so they're very. So basically, this is a kind of a keystone species that is very sensitive to climate change. And the fact that as in a warmer world, they have to work their way up in elevation to maintain, you know, a habitat to find a habitat that they're accustomed to. In a warmer world, there's only so much mountain they can go up before they run out of habitat. So they're very much at risk in that sense. So what does how can citizens... You talked about citizen science. How do people get involved in these projects?
So we do have a couple of projects that we're working on, Front Range Project and Colorado Corridors Project. Probably the easiest way to get involved is just to go to our website, rockymountainwild.org, and send us an email saying that you're interested in getting involved. Those two projects involve, both have field components to them, where for the PICA project, people go out and they go to sites to, and then they take collect data on what they are seeing at the sites as far as whether PICAs are there or not.
Mm-hmm.
And then for Colorado Corridors Project, we are doing some monitoring in an area of a proposed overpass on Interstate 70 on Vail Pass in between Copper Mountain and the top of Vail Pass. And we've got a bunch of wildlife cameras that we set up each year. And we have people come out and help us maintain those cameras. So they help us set them up, they help us check them, and they help us, we move them one time during the season, and people help us move the cameras. And then we also have people who can't help us out in the field. We have set up a project on a platform called Zooniverse.org, and we actually have people help us catalog the photos that we are getting on our cameras. So it's a really cool website where we've got field guides and filters to help people narrow down what they might be seeing in the pictures. And then it helps us a lot because we only have a few people on the project, and that's a very time intensive piece of data collection. So it helps us out a lot.
And I noticed on your website the number of animals that you work with, sage grouse, prairie dogs, wolverines, wolves. Are any of them affected by the Endangered Species Act?
Yeah, a lot of them are. In my connectivity work, the species that I work with the most closely that is affected by the Endangered Species Act is Canada lynx. They're listed as threatened currently on the Endangered Species Act.
And what does Rocky Mountain Wild do to help the lynx?
So it depends on the species, but for lynx, we've been very involved in the critical habitat proposals. Southern Rockies currently does not have any critical habitat. So we were working to try to get critical habitat in the Southern Rockies. We've been involved in efforts to try to get the Fish and Wildlife Service to do a recovery plan for lynx, which is an important tool to determining when species are ready to get off of the endangered species list. And then our connectivity work is really important for lynx because lynx are wide-moving species, so they need land to be able to move through in order to get all the resources that they need, and so having places where they can cross busy highways is really important for them.
Right. Okay, we got to wrap up again. What is Rocky Mountain Wild's website?
It's Rocky Mountain Wild. .org, and it's Rocky Mountain Wild, all spelled out.
Simple enough. And you can learn more there. Paige Singer, conservation biologist and GIS specialist with Rocky Mountain Wild. Thanks so much for taking the time to chat with us this morning, Paige.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right. So let's take a quick break for an underwriter, and when we come back, we'll be speaking with Carolyn Wara, executive director of Recycle Utah, and Troy Holding, operations manager there, about some things going on at Recycle Utah that you need to know about. It's This Green Earth. We'll be right back.
I'm Deanna.